Good morning, everyone. It's truly a joy and an honor to stand before you all to bring the word of our God through our lessons this morning, and of course, again tonight. We welcome our guests and our friends who are joining us. We thank you for choosing us here at the Southeast Church of Christ and trusting that we worship our God in spirit and in truth as commanded by our Lord. Please open your Bibles to the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah, chapter 8, we'll be reading from verses 20 through 23. Zechariah, chapter 8, verses 20 through 23. The word of our God says the following. Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Will you please bow with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, we praise thy name and we glorify thee. Father, we once more draw near to thee through thy throne of grace, grateful for the many blessings that thou have poured upon us. We're grateful for the honor, Father, that we have to call ourselves thy children, knowing that it is because of that precious blood of thy Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we now, Father, have that honor to call ourselves thy children. And we know, Father, that thou art a God who remembers, that thou art a God who does not forget. And thus, as we see through thy servant Zechariah, please, Father, allow us to always have this firmly in our minds, not only as a cautionary tale, but also as a motivator and as an encouragement to our daily living. For our friends, Father, who have visited us, thank you for them. We ask that you bless them for having chosen the better part. And Father, grant them the opportunity, Lord, to listen intently to thy word so that they, Father, may strive to diligently seek in thy word, to see if thy word has been taught in its entirety, and if so, so that they, Lord, may also apply it in their daily living. Forgive us, Father, when we have been disobedient. Forgive us when we have shamed you through our sins and our wrongs. Please, Father, grant us the ability to improve and to always perfect our holiness in thy sight. We pray this in the glorious and precious name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We now reach the final two prophets, the minor prophets that we have been studying. And it's interesting, brethren, that as I studied and I prepared for these two prophets, to see that in both of them we see a synonymous thought of remembrance. The first one, which is Zechariah, we see where Zechariah's own name means the Lord remembers. If we want to be technical, his name in actuality means Jehovah remembers. And it's always been fascinating and it's always been a curiosity of mine how the men whom God would call into the office, how many times these men that left behind these inspired books of writing coincide with what their thoughts or what their names meant. For example, we spoke about the fact that Jonah means dove. And dove, of course, the dove, of course, is a symbol of peace. It is a symbol that has been universally recognized as one of peace between nations. And yet what Jonah was going to give to Nineveh was a message of punishment, a message of wrath, and not one of peace. And yet after his message was heard, peace was found because reconciliation and repentance took place. Now in the case of Zechariah, brethren, we see that God, through this prophet's name, is telling us that he remembers. And indeed, when we read the book of Zechariah, as we studied this morning in our class, we see that it is a book that has many, many messianic prophecies. But then again, the book has at its core the purpose of reminding the people why they were in Jerusalem. Haggai and Zechariah, as Ezra chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 teaches us, rose during these times. They are known collectively, along with Malachi, as the post-exilic prophets. These prophets specifically, the first two, Haggai and Zechariah, both came on the scene approximately around 520 BC. 16 years earlier, the first wave of exiles had returned to Jerusalem under the decree of Cyrus the Persian. And we read about how God had allowed or stirred in Cyrus this spirit so that they would go and rebuild his house, so that they would go and rebuild what Solomon's temple was once. But we've already read there in the book of Haggai how indeed the glory of the former was not going to compare with the second one. Clearly, the temple of Solomon was superior to the temple of Zerubbabel. However, we see that God, through Haggai and Zechariah, also announced that there would be a new temple, a far superior temple, a temple much greater than even Solomon's temple. And as we study Scripture, we understand that God was speaking about you and I, His church. Thus, when we read the book of Zechariah and when we study it, brethren, we see that through Zechariah's name and as the content of the book holds, indeed Jehovah remembers. And this, depending on what he remembers, can either be something to our fortune or it can be something to our detriment. If you will, please go with me to chapter 1 of the book of Zechariah. Chapter 1 in the book of Zechariah, and observe how Jehovah or the Lord remembers the past actions of the fathers. He remembered their iniquities. He remembered where they had fallen off. And observe, beginning there at verse 2, the Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets preached, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. But they did not hear nor heed me, says the Lord. Notice that God remembers. The Lord remembers how the fathers of this generation, the same fathers who provoked God's wrath to be poured, and the same fathers who solidified the people of Judah to be taken into Babylonian captivity. He remembered why they were put into captivity. He remembered how they refused to repent. But how beautiful that God remembered not as of resentful memory, not as a grudge that he held against them, but as a way of warning his children, as a way of warning this new generation to be careful not to repeat the past. If they had forgotten what their fathers had done, well, God was ready to remind them, not as a way of bringing it back up and still pointing the finger at them, but as a way of warning them, beware that you do not make the same mistake. Be careful that you don't follow in their footsteps. Remember that your fathers ended up in a 70-year captivity where many of you were born into because they did not choose to hear the former prophets who prophesied to them. Brethren, many times when we read the Bible, we see that God remembers human nature. And when we read passages such as Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 23 and forward, we see how there God remembers what always snares man. We see how in that list of the fruits of the flesh are given to us, not to rub it in our faces, but as a way of warning us and cautioning us of how those who came before us, who did not stay faithful unto the end, fell for the same reason. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And notice how the Lord remembers. Notice how God remembers. But He remembers our past, not as a resentment or a grudge, but as a way of warning us and reminding us not to follow in the footsteps that led to His wrath. We begin there, chapter 6, beginning there at verse 8. Know you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now notice the memory of God. And such were some of you. He remembers. He remembers our past. But then observe why. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He remembers that some of us were thieves. He remembers that some of us were sodomites. He remembers that some of us were idolaters, or that some of us were covetous, revilers, extortioners, and so on and so forth. He remembers, but not to hold it against us for the rest of our lives. Notice how here God remembers to remind us, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. I remember who you were, but I know who you are. Do not go back to who you were and continue developing on whom you are now. Remember that in the book of Zechariah, the foundation had been laid. The foundation to the temple had been laid. But they had not yet finished rebuilding. And they had long forgotten to continue rebuilding. 16 years, that work remained abandoned. Last Sunday evening, we saw that Haggai's message was quite simple. Work. Be strong and work. Well, Zechariah's message is one of a similar thought, but it is more of an encouraging one by telling us the Lord remembers. The Lord remembers why you were taken into captivity, O Judah. But the Lord knows where you are now. And the Lord knows that you have begun in obedience. And the Lord knows that you will complete the rebuilding. But let me remind you of what your parents did. Let me remind you of what placed you in captivity to begin with. Not because I hold it against you. Not because I haven't forgiven you. But because I don't want you to find yourself in the same predicament as your parents did. You know, relationships can be interesting sometimes. Especially when we begin to talk about the future. And it's interesting how many times the way we begin to start planning about the future, many times it shapes up by the past of how we were raised, of the type of rearing we received. And then when you stop to think that our parents did not know the way we did not know, that they, before we were born, were in a similar situation as we were, wanting to know, how am I going to raise my son or my daughter? And they pulled from their past. A present that was pulled from another past, and so on and so forth. We take the good and we remove the bad. And as the scripture teaches me there in Zechariah chapter 1, the way I improve as a parent, the way I build upon my parents, is by not repeating the mistakes they made with me as a child. By learning from their faults and allowing my children to learn from mine. by telling them what I did wrong as a child, not with details, but when I see them walking on a similar path. And telling them, I remember when I thought the same way. I remember when I did the same things. I remember how I was convinced that I was not going to do what my parents did. And I ended up doing it. It's not that I have not allowed God to forgive me, but it's that I carry it as a cautionary tale for you, son, for you, daughter, so that you can rebuild where I destroyed, so that you can improve what I damaged. The Lord told the children, your parents destroyed through their iniquities the temple that used to belong to me. But you can rebuild it. You can restore it. You can improve and not repeat the mistakes of your parents' past. The Lord remembers. He remembers the past, not because He holds it against us, but because He knows. And this is the all-knowing God, by the way. He knows it can be repaired. It can be restored. But if you will, go back with me to the book of Zechariah once again. In the book of Zechariah, notice how we read there in chapter 7 and chapter 8. And truly, chapter 7 and chapter 8 are what you call an interlude or an intercession in the book. Because we see that Zechariah at this point has already seen 8 visions of the future glory of Israel, of Zion. But here in chapter 7, we see how God explains to his children and gives them a promise of obedience. In chapter 7 comes the question of fasting. If we should fast or not. But beginning at verse 4, notice what God responds. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me saying, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the 5th and 7th months, during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous in the south and the lowland were inhabited? Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. You see, here our God is reminding them of the commandments he had given them through his law. He remembers his law. He remembers the commandments he has given. But through his commandments, notice that God is remembering the innocent. God is remembering those who indeed were not guilty of what the majority of the people of Judah did. Our God remembers justice, brethren. He remembers his righteousness. In the book of Habakkuk, we see that Habakkuk, as we saw last week, had questions in regards to God's righteousness. He asked the Lord, is it that you do not see what's going on? But the answer that God gave Habakkuk is very similar to the one that now God is giving those who asked of Zechariah. No, I remember my justice. I remember my commandments. But do you remember my long-suffering? Do you remember my mercy? It isn't that God is slacking, says 1 Peter chapter 3. But rather that he wants all men to be saved. God does remember justice. God does remember that our punishment must be executed, but God also remembers that we can repent. that we can turn away from our sins, that we can gain access to his grace, because in chapter 8, you and I, brethren, as a church, we should embrace chapter 8 of Zechariah. We should love this chapter, because this chapter is all about us. This chapter is about the church. And in chapter 8, we see how God declares that we are going to be called the city of truth. It talks about how we, as a church, are going to be composed of old men and old women. How we are going to be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. How we, brethren, are going to be able to live in harmony and in love with one another. And all of this emulates, brethren, how God does not punish us just yet, because he wants us to remember that his grace is accessible to all. He remembers. He remembers his justice. Go to chapter 8, verse 14 with me. "For thus says the Lord of hosts, just as I determined to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I would not relent, so again in these days I am determined to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. I remember my justice." And again, remember, God is saying, in case you don't remember, look at your fathers. They're in captivity. Why are they in captivity? Because they did not repent. But just like I did not relent to do that evil, which in reality is not evil, by the way, God says, I am determined to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. I remember my commandments. I remember what I've ordered you. I remember my warnings to you. I remember my justice. But do you remember my long-suffering? Do you remember my mercy? Do you remember my purpose for you? The Lord remembers, brethren. The fact that we have not yet been punished does not mean that he has forgotten. The fact that this world has not yet been destroyed does not mean that God forgot what it was that he was supposed to do. I know that I briefly quoted it, but let's go there instead. And again, if the Bible doesn't say it, then why should I speak on behalf of God? Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And observe what the Holy Spirit tells us there. Beginning there at verse 5, "For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Let me read verse 10 for you. But, if you have a red pen, highlight that with red, mark it, circle it. Because even though God is not slacking in his promise, even though God is long-suffering and is not willing that any should perish, doesn't mean that his justice will not be revealed. Does not mean that his wrath will not be revealed. But the day of the Lord will come. It will come. It will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? The Lord remembers his justice. The Lord remembers his commandments. He remembers his orders. But the fact that he is delaying the full extent of our punishment is not because he's forgotten, it's rather because he loves us. And he is showing us that he is holding hope that we change. You heard me right. The all-knowing God has hope that we can change. Friend, if you have not yet put on Christ, that is telling you that the fact that you're alive, the fact that you still have an opportunity, the fact that you are listening to this message from the Word of God this morning is God telling you that he still believes in your ability to change. God trusts you. If anyone had any justifiable reason to not trust in us, it is the all-knowing God. And yet, this all-knowing God trusts us. He puts his confidence in us, even though we break his heart every day. Because he remembers. He remembers how frail we are. He remembers that if he gives us what we deserve, we will be eternally lost. And our God does not want the death of the wicked. He does not want any, as Scripture says, should perish. Which brings us to our final point. Our God remembers his promises. Our God remembers his promises. If you go back with me to Zechariah, we go back to the passage we began with in chapter 8, verses 20 through 23. And we've already read it. But there we see that that promise is about us. All the chapter is about us. The fact that the church is here now, the fact that these words were fulfilled to a T, proves that God does not forget his promises. The Lord remembers his promises to us. But many times, brethren, the reason our Lord cannot activate those promises is because we are not being obedient to his commandment. And we have to remember that the promises of God are conditional. God made a promise, but they have conditions tied to them. If you obey my word, if you are faithful to death, if you remain in the pathway, I will give you the crown of life. I will be your God, and you will be my people. But there's an if tied to that promise. God remembers his promises. The Lord remembers his promises, and the Lord will fulfill them. We've seen how in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 14 and 15, the Lord fulfilled his promise for punishment upon Judah. But he was determined also to do good, to heal, to restore his people. We read in 2 Peter chapter 3 how the Lord will destroy this world, how the Lord will judge mankind, how the Lord will return. But it's not only to destroy, it's also to save. To save those who are faithful, to save those who remained holy and undefiled. But Jehovah remembers his promises. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. And observe, beginning there At verse 6, Isaiah chapter 41, beginning of verse 6. Everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, "Be of good courage." So the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. He who smooths with the hammer inspired him who strikes the anvil, saying, "If it is ready for the soldering, then he fastened it with pegs that it might not totter. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, 'You are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.'" These are the promises that God made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob thousands of years in the past. And notice how God remembered his friend Abraham. The descendants of Abraham, my friend. Galatians, brethren, tells us that you and I are now the descendants of Abraham, God's friend. Those who are of faith are now of the seed of Abraham, says Galatians. We are the descendants of Abraham. And thus the promises made to Abraham are promises that are perpetual and are made to us. And God remembers them. But we have to be obedient. We have to be faithful. We have to be loyal to our God in order for those blessings to be activated. We are not able to enjoy them, not because God has forgotten them, but because our sins does not allow him to, because there is a condition tied to them. If you are faithful unto the end, then I will give you the crown of righteousness. The Lord remembers our past to warn us not to repeat it. The Lord remembers his justice, his commandments, to remind us of his mercy and compassion, his long-suffering. The Lord remembers his promises so that we may remember there are conditions tied to these promises. He wants to activate them. But many times we are our own enemy. Our Lord remembers his promises. Because the promise that we read in Zechariah chapter 8, verses 20 through 23, it has been fulfilled. Every single promise that God made through prophecy about the Messiah was fulfilled exactly as he said it would. And therefore, that proves to us that as Zechariah's name suggests, indeed Jehovah remembers. But as a way of proving once more that God does remember his promises, go with me to Revelation. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. And notice how beginning there at verse 9, God remembers his promises. Then the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of those," here is the patience of the saints. "Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. And here is where God proves his promises are kept, and their works follow them. Why is it important for our works to follow us into eternity? Because they are a reminder that God keeps his promises. They are a reminder that God is rewarding us because we upheld our end of the bargain. That what he claimed as a condition, we met. And therefore now he rewards as he promised he would. The reason why our works follow us is so that we can remind those who are still here that God is not a liar. He is a God of truth, a God of light. And he remembers. He remembers what he has promised. Thus, as our class began this morning, 1 Corinthians 15:58, our labor in the Lord is not in vain. But do you remember that the Lord remembers? Do you believe that he is a rewarder? Without faith, says Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God. We not only have to diligently search for him, but we have to believe that he is a rewarder to all those who diligently seek him. Friend, have you forgotten that God remembers? Have you forgotten that God does not forget? But that doesn't only mean that he does not forget the past. He also does not forget the promises he's made about the future. And in the book of Zechariah, we see that because Zechariah spoke in future tense. And you and I are in the present. We are the fulfillment of that future that Zechariah was shown. He kept his promises to the people that he spoke to. Well, this morning he makes a promise to you that if you confess with all your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that you believe that his blood is powerful enough to wash away your sins, that if you, after confessing, obey the gospel by being immersed into the waters of baptism into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that you will rise to a newness of life, that your past sins will be washed away, that God will not have them in memory, as he says through the prophet Micah, but he will remind you of them only when you are needed to be warned. But he will not remember them in form of judgment to accuse you because you are no longer guilty, but rather you've been acquitted through the blood of the Lamb. God remembers that bargain still today. But if you scorn God, and if you do not take his hand and make this treaty with him today, God will also remember that you rejected him. And the danger is that those who reject God will also be rejected by God on that day of judgment. Do you want to risk your salvation? Or are you willing to use the memory of God to your advantage so that he will remember the promise made of good and not of bad? If you are subject to our invitation this morning, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and we sing.